What up, world? This is the Affairs of the Heart podcast with your boy GQ and So Debonair, episode number 11. Damn. So we're so glad to be here. Obviously, you know, I'm just so glad to be here. We are just so glad.
I want you to read the comments under our live from last week because I feel like we need to address the comments that were made.
Which ones? Oh, God.
We have a very special listener that always comments.
Okay.
And he really reads us a lot. He loves the podcast, but he reads us a lot on there. And I didn't get a chance to even
On YouTube?
Yeah, on the YouTube. He gave a lot. And I feel like he doesn't really listen to the things that we're talking about. He just kind of takes what he's triggered about and then he comments.
Do you think he does it in real time or does he like
take notes? No, he watches us live, then he goes back and then he actually has it like a dissertation of our podcast and our
lives. Send this to me this
time. I know, because when I saw it, I was like, I don't want you to go comment on before we talk about it together.
Because you know me.
I know. That's why they said
it. Contrary to popular belief, you know, when somebody has something to say about our podcast, I'm the first one to be like,
so on the front line. And I want to clear up a misconception that if this person is having, someone else is having it. So I'm going to just do this.
Okay.
I'm not a person who jumps into things fast because it looks good or... I don't know what the other reason could be that they would think that it's...
You're not an irrational person.
Yeah, like, I really think these things through.
Or at least for as long as you think that you should think them through.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it may not be right for the rest of the world, but it's right for me.
Right.
And so, I feel like when he comments on things, it does make me feel like, well, this is one person who believes... It's long, so... And it's like a two-part message. Yeah, keep scrolling.
But there's only... Oh, yes. Okay, I have found what he is talking about.
And he always breaks down me and then he breaks you down.
Well, first of all, I don't give a fuck. And I make this very clear. Listen here. This is what Dwayne has to say about people's opinions. Everybody has one. I don't take what you say to heart.
I don't either, at all.
And it's not, you know, and let's also be very clear. We appreciate everyone that takes the time to listen to our podcast and watch our live show on Thursday. We want you to keep commenting. We want you to keep interacting. But I think there's a fine line with engaging in the conversation and being judgmental and or opinionated.
And I think that's, for me, that's where it comes from. Because if you look at the other comments, it's like, great conversation, guys. I really appreciate this because I can see this from your standpoint of view, how I feel about things or whatever. But then it's like this, oh, well, let me break down these things or whatever. And so I'm just like, I love people who listen to the shows. And, you know, one thing I always do is I listen to other podcasts and watch other YouTube channels. So I see that it's like a normal thing. So I get there's going to be someone who's like this very critical about the conversation that we have. And I feel like this person doesn't realize that a lot of things that we're talking about are from the past.
Or not even, it doesn't even pertain to us individually.
Yeah, like.
But we also, you know, we'll throw in our own experiences from the past.
Right.
That are not current.
Right.
So I think it's really interesting, you know, again, everybody's going to have an opinion. Yeah, everybody's entitled to their opinion. You just don't have to share it with everybody. You don't have to tell me your opinion.
Or at least if you're going to give feedback, like, actually listen to what's going on and then give your point of view of how you feel about things. Because, again, even reading through the entire dissertation of the live and then going back to the podcast once a week, because I guess he listened to the podcast and he watched it live too.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why we were all looking around like about, I think someone said something about the boy not having a job or something like that. We were like, we never said that.
Your homegirl did.
No, that wasn't, no, she did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that. And so that's why I'm just like, the podcast and the live are two different things.
Yeah.
And I want people to really understand that, because the podcast is really for, you know, that's where the base comes from. After that, it's the live of just, you know, and get engaged in the conversation.
Right. But don't be so engaged that you become opinionated and or, what's the other word I'm looking for? You know, I mean, and everybody, again, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but there's a fine line between your opinion and judgment or chastisement or anything of that nature with people. You know, we're humans just like you guys are who's listening. So just be careful. And I'm quite sure if you were to share some of your intimate experiences, you know, people would have an opinion about what, you know.
And it's also weird because the person who did this wants us to bring someone on the podcast who's very negative. And
which makes you think that is, it's the person?
I don't know if it's that person or, he maybe just be a fan of that person, but it's like, we're not negative people.
No.
We're very open-minded people.
At least we try to be.
And we try to share our experiences so that other people don't have to go through those things that we went through.
Right.
That were negative in our past. And for some reason, I don't think that he's getting that these are our past experiences. These are lessons that we've learned. This is not like we're still doing these things. These are just things that we've been through.
Right.
And so I think I want to make sure that is like absolutely known that the things that we've been through are not the same things that we're doing today, outside of me moving this man into my house after a week.
I mean, that was in real time.
Yeah, that was in real time, but everything else is most of it's from the past. So, you know, I just want to make sure that people understand that these are experiences that we've had.
Yeah. So, is that clear? Is that on that?
That is that on that. I just want to make sure that we had addressed that because, I mean, he's a faithful listener and viewer of the live and the podcast. So I want to make sure that this is very clear. When you are listening and when you are watching, come from a different lens
or perspective
of what you're listening and watching. I understand you have your personal views, but they're interfering with the fact that your whole dissertation from last week was off. Like, none of it was right. And I'm like, you could not have listened to what we were saying. You heard the things you wanted to hear and you commented.
Yeah.
So, that's that on that.
They might like you. And they might have a personal vendetta.
Well, I mean, he breaks you down and me down. So, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Because I don't care, personally.
I don't care either.
I don't even read them. I read the... I know.
I'll send it to you like, Dwayne, somebody said this.
And I'd be like, oh, okay. I'm going to tell you why. Because I know that I'm solely responsible for what I feed into my personal space, yes, my energy, yes, my emotions. And this happened, and I'll be very candid honest. This happened one time in the beginning of the podcast where someone had an opinionated Twitter post. Mm-hmm. And I decided to engage with the person and go back and forth. And I was like, you know what? Oh, no. I am not stooping to this person's level, and I'm not doing this. This is not me. It's not my character, and I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not here to defend my views or my opinions. I'm not here to do that. So if you feel like we might not have touched a conversation or a topic in a certain kind of manner that wasn't pleasing to you, or you side with, you know, one of us more than the other, that's what makes this a good podcast, because we sit and we, even when we disagree, it's still all love with each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I got that one time. We were talking about my ex too. They were like, "Ooh." I got a whole dissertation, like, why are you running him down? And then I'm like, that's not me running him down, I'm giving my experience. And so, you know, now it's really hard for people to do that because we do have peace that's on social media. Mm-hmm. So now they're like, oh, okay, well, maybe it wasn't that. It's never really been that. It's just been my experience. So,
okay, that's that on it.
Do you want to, so I want to start with because someone actually submitted the question for us.
Sure.
So I want to start with that for this week.
Dear Heartbeat.
He said, I am a 37-year-old gay man. I was sexually active in my 20s and early 30s, but now I'm not so into sex now. I used to bottom mostly, but now I prefer to top. But guys don't wanna be bottom for a 5'7 dude. I wanna get back into the sexual scene. Any tips? I'm like, wait a minute, that's what is wrong. So he wants to get back to the sexual scene. Do we have any tips?
Okay, so let's break this love letter to the Heartbeats Down.
Okay.
Okay, so you are how old? Not you, but the gentleman.
He's 37.
Is how old? He's 37.
We're the same age.
And he said in his, he was sexually active in his 20s and his early 30s. Yes. So then that means he probably has not been sexually active for maybe the last 3-4 years? Because your early 30s are what? You're 30 to 35?
Let's say before 25. I'll be 35.
Yeah, so yeah. Like 35, and then now you're 37. So you're 2 years strong. You have been sexually active. Got it.
Well,
3 years.
Okay, you gotta say that.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Okay, you said early 30s.
But it's also transitioned from a bottom to a top.
Well, we're not there yet.
Oh, okay.
So, so we're not there yet. All right, okay. So you're 37, active, you were bottoming for most of your 20s and your 30s, mm-hmm. the early 30s. Mm-hmm. 37, now you decide you want to be a top.
Mm-hmm.
But now he threw his height in there, which was kind of interesting to me.
That's a key thing, though, to you.
That's why I said it was interesting. It's interesting. You throw your height in there.
Because as a bottom, 5'7 is not bad. For a lot of people, it's not. I'm being very honest. It's not.
I don't understand.
It's almost like having a small dick and trying to be a top.
But I don't understand the height aesthetic. Like, that does not. Because I'm 5'9", and I'm still going to climb your back. I don't care. Like, I don't.
There's a lot of tall bottoms who experience discrimination about being a bottom because they're tall.
They can't help that.
They came, but they still experience discrimination because they are a tall bottom.
Like, you see, it's like I can't help how tall I am.
Yeah,
there's nothing that I can do to make me taller to appease a demographic of people.
Yes, I would say there is a tall bottom that lives in DC. He looks fucking amazing. I mean, even as me, you know, mostly bottoming, I would top this man.
You would give him 3 pumps.
I would give him all the pumps in the world that he needs. Because he just, I feel like he deserves it.
I don't understand. I don't understand the mindset of our community sometimes. Yes. I don't. Because I don't get it. I'm like, okay, I can't help how tall I am. And you're going to discriminate against me because I'm only 5'9". And you need something. You prefer mm-hmm. somebody that's 6 feet and over. Well, so, then go, like, why are you in my face? Go over there to them.
You don't think heterosexual people go through this? Like, women go through this?
No! No.
I don't know. No. I don't know that's right.
No, and no again. No.
Even that group City High, Claudette had that song 5'5" Brown Eyes. It was a celebration of
she's 5'5".
She's fine that she's 5'5". Like,
you most, either gonna take me for
I don't
how
think
tall
most
I am
straight
or not.
Men want tall women.
No. Because they wear heels. And they don't want a woman that's taller than them.
Yes.
But that's not what we're talking about.
No, I'm just saying the height thing is why I understood it was because I just feel like even if it's in our world or their world, the height does matter for the person who is doing you because no man who's trying to fuck you wants somebody that's bigger or taller than them. Well, no, I said no man. Most men or some men don't want that.
I was going to say because it's not most. I honestly don't think, and I mean, I am not the voice of the community, but I do not think that most men want somebody taller than, I mean, I don't see that mattering. And I think, you know why, okay, I'm going to tell you why I have the perspective that I do. Mm-hmm. As we've gotten older, aesthetic stuff, like whatever you got, just bring it to the table.
But he's 37, so he's around our age range.
But again, as I've gotten older, I didn't say him. I'm talking about me. You know, now, maybe he hasn't arrived there yet. Maybe he's still trying to figure it out. But I think, you know, just bring what you... There's so many other things that are more important. Like, what's your credit score?
Yeah.
Well, how much money you got in the bank?
Yeah.
Do you have a future of longevity in finance that you want to grow together into? Like, there's so many other things that are important than aesthetic. Obviously, there's something that attracts me to you. There may not be everything, but I'm still attracted to you, and I'm more attracted to you than I'm not. So, that's just so crazy. So, okay, we stopped at his height.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing in this letter that I think is interesting is that now he wants to change sexual positions. Which is fine. He has the autonomy to do that. But how are you going about, you know, approaching people as a top than you were as a bottom? You know what I mean?
So I can kind of relate to this.
Okay.
Because a lot of times, like, I'm pretty versatile. Like, it just depends on the energy with the other person. But most of the times, because of my ass, it's like, you bottom it. Like, period. which I don't have an issue with. This is like nothing I'm running across. Like, I really want to like top. Like, I mean, I don't really mind it because the energy for me means everything. I had a conversation with a guy last night, and it was so funny because me and him talked before this, and he told me he didn't want to be in a relationship. He just wants to like have like a friends with benefits situation. And, you know, I told you guys last week, you know, I'm down for that at this point. Mm-hmm. And he was like, why'd you stop talking to me? I was like, well, because when you said the relationship thing, I'm like, maybe this is not something that me and you are compatible with. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking last night, and he was saying that that he has a nice ass. That's what he was saying. And I said, oh, that's weird. I was like, because, you know, normally for me, the reason why I bottom most of the time is because people like my ass. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, so we both got nice asses. So where does this go from here? And I'm like, mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nobody's ever made me think about that.
I never had to think about this. So I understand this because if you are a certain height, for some people, it is a thing for them where it's like, I would rather top you because you are smaller. And most guys who are bottoms, they want someone who's taller. Like for me, I'm gonna tell you, I do want a taller top most of the times. I mean, I do like shorter tops sometimes, but if I'm looking and I'm searching for something, it's normally someone who's taller than me.
I just don't. I don't.
Like, let's say that I'm on one of the apps. When I'm putting in what I would want your to have, yeah, it's going to be someone who's taller than me.
I mean, that I get, but what I don't get is the shaming or the criticizing or the ridiculing. You know, you have not come across everybody for you to then say that everybody doesn't want a 5'7 top.
Yeah.
It has to be the people in your area or the people that you are hanging around and searching around or however.
And I also think, like, even if someone who bottoms a lot, like, even when you meet shorter people, most of, and if you are a size person, like, dick-wise, a lot of them have nice-sized dicks.
Shorter people? Or
yes, shorter people. Oh, it's like shorter people and, like, really skinny people. Oh, okay. It's like, I've run across this a lot, so I'm, like, surprised, like, well, damn, your dick is taller than you. Like, what's going on?
I mean, you know, is that a kickstand or is that a three-leg?
Yeah, like, where, I mean, like, yeah. I know why they call it three legs. You can walk on all three of these motherfuckers.
But... ridiculous. Literally. Ridiculous.
But, I mean, that's if you're a size person. So, I don't, like, for the advice...
Okay, so wait, because there's so many things to give advice to. That's okay. Why I'm like, I'm trying to break it down for
so the. So let's start at the beginning. So I'm 37 years old, gay man. He hasn't been very sexually active prior to his early 30s. And now he wants to have sex, but he's a top instead of a bottom. Let's start there.
Broaden your horizons as it pertains to bottoms that you're looking for. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. What do you think?
I mean, I'm thinking, like, are you trying to date or are you having sex?
Well, clearly he just wants to have sex based upon what he wrote.
I don't know, like, I just couldn't see a lot of people being like, oh, you're 5'7" and you want to be a top. I can't do it.
See, and that's what I don't understand. Like, where are you looking? Who are you looking for? Like...
So, where are some places they can look?
Well, shit, I don't know.
I would say go out, you know, into some of the gay atmospheres, like the clubs and the, you know, the lounges, things like that, because I think that, or even like, you know, house parties or whatever, because I feel like you will find more options.
Yeah, find a friend or friends and then let them introduce you to the friends.
Absolutely, let them invite you to some functions or something like that. I think that you would find that this is not a struggle.
I think you're just making it harder than it needs to be.
Or maybe you're overthinking it.
That too.
Yeah.
Incredibly. What was the end of the letter? So
and we wanted to... In our live on Thursday, we can really have this conversation because Job is short.
Job is very short.
And he talks sometimes too, which I was so shocked about. But
I'm sorry, what?
He talks sometimes.
I mean, I heard you. I just wanted you to repeat it.
That's what he said. Okay. So that would be awesome conversation to have with him because he can get more insight than we can.
Yeah,
because
he's shorter than me.
Because you're taller than 5'7", right?
Yeah, I'm 5'9".
And I'm 5'11". So, I mean, I really don't. This is not my struggle.
I mean, I think I'm in a sweet spot, you know. But Job is what, 5'6"?
I want to say he's 5'5" with brown eyes.
Yes.
He's very short, so. Aww. I'm sure that, you know, I would love to hear what his reaction would be to this.
Yeah, well, make sure you guys tune in on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook and Twitter for our podcast live.
Yeah, and I think we can get a better answer because we're not
under. Yeah, thank God.
We look alike.
I don't understand.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't have any experience in this for once.
And then I don't think I can't relate to changing from a bottom to a top either. Like.
Well, that I can kind of empathize with to a degree.
Okay.
Because there are often times when I am in the mood to be a bottom, but it's very few and far between. And I'm talking like years. Like it's not something that happens very often unless I'm very comfortable with the person that I'm interacting with.
Okay.
So, but at the same time, I'm also not seeking it from just anybody. Mm-hmm. So I can't really give a perspective, a 100% perspective, because I'm not in the scene trying to find somebody to rearrange my guts.
I mean, who are you fucking that's rearranging your guts?
I mean, we just talked about people with third legs. I don't know, you know.
I think for me, it's always, like I said, it's an energy situation for
absolutely
me. So I never will walk into a situation thinking that I'm only going to just bottom, because sometimes it has been where we flipped and flopped.
Some of the best experiences I've ever had has been flip-flop sessions.
I think for me, which is really weird, is that like a lot of times guys will say like I'm versatile or whatever, and then when it comes to the time for me to top, oh well, I didn't get ready for this because you told me you was a bottom. I'm like, You told me you was versatile, so I got prepared to be versatile.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that doesn't happen. If we're flipping and flopping, we've agreed to flip and flop. I'm not.
Yeah, like, I mean, mentally I've already prepared for this because it takes a lot for me to do this.
Yeah.
So I'm already there.
So I think where you are mentally when it comes to topping is where I am mentally when it comes to bottoming. Yeah, it takes a lot for me to do it.
Like, if we're having a conversation and we're talking about being versatile, like, I'm expecting to be versatile. And it's like, at this point, you can never come back over here and say you want to be versatile again now because you weren't prepared for being versatile when you came over here.
Right.
And that's a lot of why I bottom all the time, because it's like, guys say that and then, you know, maybe it's good. You know, I don't know. Like, I haven't fucked myself, so I don't know.
Well, you know, you get lost in the booty. It happens. You get lost in the booty. If you've ever seen Aaron's Behind, everyone knows what I'm talking about. If you are a fan of the Freak Twitter page, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So you get lost in the sauce, so to speak.
Yeah. I actually shared my Freak Twitter page with that guy.
With what guy?
That wrote this question.
Oh, congratulations to that man.
He's been inducted into the Hall of Fame.
So, here is a tidbit for everybody. If you want to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, send in a letter, and you might get a response with a Freak Twitter page.
Okay, so let's go to the next topic.
All right.
How do you get over trust issues?
Ooh.
Do you think it's possible?
From somebody else or from within your relationship currently?
Let's say both.
Okay, so if it's baggage that you carry, mm-hmm, based upon trust issues from something that's happened in your past, mm-hmm, that is something that you have to work out on your own.
Okay.
You cannot, you can't expect somebody to come along and fix that for you. That is some internal stuff that you have to work out on your own. And if you don't work it out on your own, then you're going to continuously carry that bag of trust issues into every situation that you come in contact with. And every person that you come in contact with is going to pay for whatever that one person did to you. Mm-hmm. And that one person that did it to you is probably living their best life and not even really concerned about you, but you're still carrying this bag of trust issues that you have to unpack on your own. Why do you feel emotionally the way you feel when it comes to trust? Why do you feel like the person has to call you every hour on the hour? Why do you feel like the person has to text you every morning and every night? If they don't answer your text, you start going into a frenzy. If they don't answer your calls, you start getting all concerned. You start driving by their house and doing all of this erratic behavior because you're the one with the trust issue.
I feel like I'm under attack.
I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm just saying, I'm going through the example of somebody that has trust issues. I don't personally have trust issues.
Can I ask you a really good question?
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about this, what is trust issues?
So, trust issues would be if someone was cheated on, mm-hmm. and it was not communicated, and you found out detrimentally, mm-hmm. and now you are affected by it.
And let's say that this was in the past, but now you're dating again. What do trust issues look like? Because it's because you're bringing your old baggage in, or you're just not putting up with the shit because these are patterns that you've already seen.
It's both.
Okay.
Because now, here's the thing. You have this bag. Mm-hmm. Trust issues. I don't trust no nigga. I don't trust him. I don't care.
Oh, you didn't call me at 9 o'clock?
Right. You didn't call me at 9 o'clock. Right. You didn't call me at 9 o'clock. You said you were going to do this and you didn't do that. It's that, but it's also, you're now, camouflaging it. You're camouflaging the bag, mm-hmm. by saying, it's red flags. I don't put up with the bullshit. Now, let me be very clear.
Yeah, okay, because No. My brain is...
I know. It's working. I know. Let me be very clear. You have every right to identify BS. You have every right to identify bullshit.
Okay.
But know when it's bullshit, when it's their bullshit and when it's your bullshit. There's two different things. Mm-hmm. If the person has given you no reason for you to have red flags and you are now identifying things that they are bringing to you, that are happening in the course of the situation as a red flag, and it's really not the case of the situation and everything pans out. For example, let's give an example. So if the person said they were going to call you at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. y'all in a relationship, y'all made a commitment, we're past all of that, you're in the situation. They said, I'm going to call you at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. and they don't call you until 9 the next morning.
It's a red flag.
Now, there's a way to be concerned about it. Like, hey, you said you were going to call, you didn't call. Is everything okay?
Let's start there. You got about 200 calls from me from 9 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
But see, that is also, why do you feel like you need to call and figure out what's going on? If they didn't
say, are you dead?
At least are you okay? Start with the basics. Are you alive?
Right.
Great.
Right.
Are you in good health? Is everything okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did something happen to you physically, your car, whatever? Things happen,
okay.
That are out of the, situation. And if they don't have a valid excuse or a valid, response to that, take a little note. Just say, okay, all right. Okay. I see it for what it is. Now, if it is something that happens that's repetitive, meaning if it keeps happening, mm-hmm. then you need to be like, okay, what's going on? Because I'm talking to you. You don't like when behaviors change.
I don't.
You don't like when things change because you want to keep that same energy. And when the energy patterns stops,
mean everything to me.
When the pattern stops,
or even if it changes.
Right. If it changes, you're like, okay, now wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But for people that things that legitimately happened and you have a valid excuse. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to call you at 9 o'clock. I got a phone call.
And I talked from 9 to 9?
No. No. I said valid excuse.
Okay.
That's not a valid excuse because while I was on the phone,
I was talking from 9 to 12 and I fell asleep from 9 to 9.
From
12 to 9.
But in that, the key to dispel, from you going into a whole issue about trust, mm-hmm. is communication. So if I was supposed to call you at 9 o'clock and I don't call you at 9 o'clock and I was on the phone from 9 to 10, mm-hmm. or 9 to 12, mm-hmm. and I end up falling asleep or I'm on my way to sleep, I'd be like, hey, I'm so sorry. I was supposed to, mm-hmm. call you at 9. I'm on my way to sleep or whatever the case is. I'll catch you in the morning. Like, communication helps ease that issue because then your mind starts to wonder, and that becomes the devil's playground, as they say. I don't mind is the devil's playground.
So where do you feel like it changes from, let's say that I've been cheated on and I have these let's say it's baggage, but for me, I feel like it's like lessons that I've learned.
You feel like
from the past.
But sometimes, and honestly, and I'm putting a pin right there, because sometimes a lot of us feel like we've learned the lesson, we've dealt with it, we got it out, we went to therapy, whatever the case is, but triggers happen when you're faced with the situation that triggers whatever you've, you know.
But is that wrong, though?
No, it's not wrong, but you just, it then helps you realize that maybe you're not over the situation like you think you're over the situation.
Or maybe you just see the same pattern, so this is... Before it gets really started.
Well, it's not even necessarily the same pattern. It's just the fact of the matter that you're triggered by something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you might assume that it's the same pattern, because it may not be, honestly, until you get into the thick of it and get all the facts. Because that's the other thing. You know, speculation is different from fact. You get into a situation where you're speculating, oh, it's a red flag, it's the same thing, I've been through this before, it's going to happen like this, da-da-da-da. And it may not be that.
So do you wait for it to happen like that?
I mean, I'm not saying be stupid, but I'm saying, like, just be vigilant, be aware, like, be, you know, realize what's happening and what's going on. I think if you search long enough for something, as old folks say, as we keep going to old folks' comments, you're going to find what you're looking for if you're going to keep searching for it. But I think people...
Unless they're not doing it.
Right, unless they're not doing it. And it could be either or. So I think, and again, the way that you can eradicate, you know, trust issues from certain people... is just communication.
I think that's a hard conversation, honestly, because all of that sounds amazing, it sounds great, but I mean, even just taking my last situation and saying, hey, you know, you kiss somebody at the club, red flag, I'm gonna end it today. But maybe you really just didn't remember, or you just went out and you did something. But coming back to it, it's like, do I wait and find out this is like a real thing, or do I nip it in the bud at the beginning?
Well, I think in the case of that situation, you know, given that you've told the story so we can kind of candidly talk about it, I think in the case of that situation, I have to go back to what I said, you know, on the podcast and on the live, that I don't fully believe that people don't know what they're doing when they don't know what they're doing. You know, when they say, oh, I was drunk, I don't remember anything. You can't tell me that. It's psychologically, that's not possible. Unless you completely blacked out.
Yeah.
And given the case of the situation.
So I need to see pictures you passed out on the floor, like, not remember none of this shit from me.
And that would give me, you know, that would give me the facts that maybe you don't remember. But when you can do a little jig after you did what you did, you remember. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
So I had a conversation with my ex, and we were talking about things that we went through. And I was saying, we were talking about the fact that I said, it took me 10 years to get through a lot of shit we've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but it's weird because now, like, we're in a good space where we really genuinely trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so, you know, how does that really look? Like, sometimes do you need that kind of time to do things? Not saying stay together that long. But people need that time to, like, really learn each other.
Absolutely. I don't think you ever stop learning a person, number
right,
one.
Right.
You know, I don't think you ever, because, you know, we try to put time limits and timelines on things, but you never really arrive to that point. You're still going to be learning things about each other, you know, if you decide to stay together well into your older ages.
Right.
But I think one of the things that I've been saying as of lately, to be honest, is that time heals all wounds. Time truly, truly, truly heals all wounds. And you need time in order to heal. You can't say, you know, I just had this traumatic relationship breakup and this traumatic experience in 1 month. And then the next month, you can lie to yourself and say you're okay, but you're still going to be triggered by certain things. You're still going to, it's still going to affect you, you know, as time goes on. You just said you had to wait 10 years to be in a good space with your ex, right? You needed that time. And now that doesn't mean that you didn't communicate that time. I mean, I'm sure sometimes you did and sometimes you didn't.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you had to get through the emotional baggage that those, how long were y'all together before y'all broke up?
We're together, I want to say, 8 years?
Yeah, so you had to, I think, you know, and some folks will say that you need to be single or separate for just as long that you were in a relationship for you to be able to heal from those. I've heard people say that as well.
I think for us, the big thing was that we just really kept trying to make peace to the point where we actually made it on accident. I mean, seriously.
But I think you add it wasn't on purpose. You had insult to injury when you're not, communicating, or you're not doing something to heal.
Right.
Right. Or like you just said, y'all kept trying. Mm-hmm. Well, you're just adding on to the layers of,
Well, I don't think that because there were conversations that were happening. So a lot of things that we were realizing, and then you have to realize too, like the insult kept coming from other people as well. Like, oh, well, I didn't know that if you knew this or not, but this happened. So it kept bringing up other conversations. But in the midst of that, we were still working on peace between me and him.
But that's what I'm saying. It kept bringing up other conversations. So, like, you're adding on to the layers of...
But it also gave me opportunity to speak to this person and say, hey, I'm getting messages from someone else saying, this shit has happened. I know nothing about this stuff. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, okay, I'm trying to really, like, grasp the fact that, one, we're not together anymore, but two... What hurt me the most, like, you was doing this on shit that I didn't even know about. Mm-hmm. And so because we were still communicating, it wasn't as bad. Because I could imagine us not talking and shit was still going on. Like, me getting these messages too. Because now, by the time I talk to you, I want to blow your fucking brains out.
Well, I mean, again, this, I think it's just like you mourn a death.
Absolutely. I said this before the podcast.
You go through the stages of mourning when it comes to a death. It's the same thing when it comes to a relationship. And
I always say that.
Yeah.
But it's also different because the dead is actually still the walking dead. So it's not like the dead is like you're not going to see it no more. You're mourning it. Like you still gradually see it or they're still reaching out to you or something like that. So it's like... Even though you're mourning, it's hard to mourn that situation because it's sometimes in your face or you still can visually see it.
Well, I also think that is the, again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about you being responsible for your space, your capacity, your mental space, your emotional space, your physical space. You are responsible for those spaces. So, if you need to cut, block them for a while just so that you can breathe.
We've blocked them so many times.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, if you need to remove them from your social media so you don't have to see it, I think that is your responsibility. I think
that's easier said than done.
No, it's not.
No, it is. I'm going to tell you from a person who has been through it, we've blocked each other multiple times. We've made peace and then we blocked each other again because shit happened. Like, it's easier said than done. Because we did work on making peace with each other because... our relationship really meant something to each other, period. So it just took a lot of time. And I think that it's easy to say, block them, let it go. But that mourning process with never speaking to this person is worse. Because you really are literally dying on the inside. Well, I'm going to just say my experience. On the inside, because you want answers. You want to understand something. Because one, you got to still get back out here and try to redo this with someone else again. Not saying that's my main focus, but what could have changed or what could I have done different? Or did I need to do anything different in this space with this person so that when I go to the next person, that I can do different or period,
that is absolutely correct. I think you're absolutely right. However, I think that... this is not something that happens overnight either.
I think that we
want to make that very clear. Like, you need to get to a point where you say, I just need to not see it. I need to not be involved.
One of the best things that we did before we really separated was we sat with a counselor.
Absolutely.
He didn't like what she said, but it gave me freedom to understand that the reason that we had broken up on that time, it wasn't that I was right, but it made me feel like I wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
About, what was going on. And so it gave me the freedom to at least make peace with the fact that we're not together. And I think after that, it was like a lot of work that I had to do for me with even communicating after that, because there was a break. And then, we tried it again. And we tried it a lot of times. It didn't work a lot of times. Until we got to the space we are now. But again, that took a long time.
But you also have to take into consideration for people that may never have the opportunity to go to therapy. Right. That is not even an option. Like, the person that they have broken up with is not even willing to consider even, they're not even talking to each other. You know what I mean? Right, right. So at some point, you have to make
peace with yourself.
Rational decisions for yourself about what's most important for you.
And I would always suggest writing that letter to yourself.
Yeah, like you have.
It was such a healing moment. It was a healing moment for me and from my molesters, for me to do that, to make peace with someone I would never get peace from.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be the bigger person in your life to say, you know what, I don't want to see it anymore. Let me I block, and it's nothing. There's no ill will. I'm not doing out of spite, but for my own sanity, for my own mental capacity and emotional capacity, I need to not see you. And I need to not see what you're doing in your life and how you're moving on, because then I'm going to dwell on it and I'm going to be stuck in the same space.
Okay, so let's move along, because I know we're on a time frame.
Yes.
So let's take this break. We'll come right back with our sex topics.
All right.
And
we'll be right back with the Appraisal of the Heart podcast.
Hey Heartbeats, my name is Brandon Canyon. That's spelled K-A-N-I-O-N. And you can get my EP trilogy, 913, available now on iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, Google Play, and everywhere your favorite artist music is available. Have a good day.
What's up, Heartbeats? It's your boy, friend to the show, Mr. Bouvier here. And I just wanted to let you know that my new single, Quarantine, is now available everywhere. Everywhere you stream your music, everywhere you buy your music, you can check out my new single, Quarantine. Peace.
All right, so we're back with the Fairs of the Heart podcast. Let's jump into some sex talk.
All right.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know? But that's a part of life.
Damn.
So I want to bring up one from the Easy Say Easy Done group. Shout out to Eric. Yeah, because I definitely wanted to do this one, because this was a really good topic. It says, when it comes to sex, we all have that habit of saying what we are good at. How we handle the business when it's time to do the do. Well, what about the dark areas? Let's talk about what we lack when it comes to sex. What are we bad at or even horrible at when it comes to the bedroom action?
What am I bad at?
You want me to go first?
No, I'll go first. I mean, because I guess you never think about it, you know, because I guess you think you know what you could do in the confines of what you could do. But I guess you go ahead. Maybe it'll give me something.
Because I had to think about it. That's why I said, let me go first.
Okay.
Because I actually thought about this, and I know I wrote it down, so I know I thought about it. And I wrote in the group, I said, you know, one thing that we talked about on the podcast was missionary for me.
Yeah.
I don't do it very well because, one, I'm almost 40. My legs get tired,
right?
And I don't really want to do it. Like, I mean, I know the person I'm doing it with may enjoy this a lot, but for me, it's just very hard for me to do that. And then also we talk about this too, which is sucking dick. Like, it just is not something that I enjoy doing. So because I don't enjoy doing it, I don't put my best effort into doing it.
Okay. I'm having a hard time with this question.
And I think also something I didn't say too was, if the chemistry is not there for me, I'm not putting a lot of energy into it.
Yeah.
Because if you can't put the energy in to make this an experience for me, it's hard for me to try to give you the experience that you want.
Yeah. I would say one thing I'm bad at, if you do something that turns me off, I'm off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, there's nothing necessarily that you can do that's going to get me back on. Like, for example, I love kissing. Mm-hmm. And if you, number one, because there are people that are not kissers.
Yeah.
And that is the most uncomfortable thing to me in the entire world. Like, I don't understand. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say I don't understand why, but I don't understand why, for the lack of a better term. Like, some people think it's too intimate, like kissing is more intimate than, you know, the actual do, so then they don't want to, they only reserve that for people that they're really into. Like, I don't know. it just turns me completely off, and I have some real qualms around that.
I thought about something else I'm really bad at, is when it's time to change positions.
No, like, if I'm in a position that's not...
No, I'm talking about for me.
No, I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm just kind of talking.
I'm like, I'm awkward. Like, wait, what you saying? How you want me to do it? Like, that's the most awkwardest time for me. It's like, you just say, you want me on my back, like, lift it up, like, push it down, you want the pill. Like, I'd be asking so many questions. I'm like, I feel like it takes the tone of the session down.
Well, yes. Some people you just want to shut up.
I'm like, move me the way you want. It's, don't tell me what you want to do. Just move me.
Okay. I'm quite sure people that I have slept with will probably have some things to say about what I wasn't so good at. But I don't know.
Oh, I thought about something else. Shit, I'm bad at a lot of things. In my mind, it's not that I'm bad at the sexual part. But if you don't eat my ass long enough, I do kind of, my morale turns down, son. Is that the right word?
I mean, is there a light that comes on or a button that flickers when you...
Like, it's enough? A certain point where it's like, it's green light for me. And it's not like a set time. It may be how you do it, but it's something that's like, it's time to fuck for me. A lot of people that I've had sex with more than one time understand that. But for me, like, if it's not enough time for me, because there's a guy who spent a lot of time, and I avoid him because I'm like, you don't eat ass long enough for me to want to, like, engage in sex. I feel like I got cheated out of the experience.
Interesting.
I'm just thinking about stuff like, shit, I didn't know if that was this bad. Okay.
I'm gonna have to elaborate on this. I'm gonna have to think about it and talk about it more on the live.
On the live, okay.
Because I don't know.
Okay, so let's move on to
the next one.
Have you ever slept with your superior, like your teacher, your coach, your boss?
Superior. Coach, boss. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But I know people that have.
I have, actually, when I was working for U-Haul. And it was really weird because he texted me after I did my interview. And he said, it was a gay term, are you mobile? And I'm like, who the fuck is texting me and asking me this? And I was like, I mean, you know, Uber or whatever. Who is this? And when I realized who it was, I'm like, this is the guy I just interviewed with. And so, like, at work, it used to be really weird because I didn't really want to have sex with him. But I think the consistency of trying to do it was kind of turning me on or whatever. And we just was in, like, a lot of different spaces that I'm like, this would be how to do it here. So I kind of thought about it a lot of times. And we ended up actually having sex. But it just got weird because his wife just showed up at work.
Oh, okay.
Which I never knew he had a wife. And one of the guys, I actually got the job from one of the guys I used to mess around with. He was like, oh, well, you know, my job's hiring, whatever. So after I explained to him what was going on, he was like, oh, yeah, he tried to sleep with me all the time, too. Well, I just never did it. Like, well, damn, you should have told me that. But... yeah, he still, like, hit me up on, like, all the apps. Like, what I'm saying, not even, like, just the Grindr and the Jack app, but, like, on Snapchat and shit. And it was really weird because I didn't really want to do it because the places that we could do it at were just really more intriguing to me. I did it.
Okay. No.
No.
I don't think I have. That's terrible. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of any boss or superior that I've had in that kind of interaction with. I mean, granted, if they were... Oh. Okay, so no,
I knew you were part of something.
I was like, I had to think about it. So I used to work for Express. I used to be a salesperson at Express. Mm-hmm. And when I first moved to New York, the first time, when I first moved to New York in 2003, there was a manager at the Express in Soho mm-hmm. that I thought was fine. Mm-hmm. It was so fine. And there was another dude who worked in the men's section who was attractive, like really attractive. And I really didn't pay, like the manager was kind of like pompous. So mm-hmm. I didn't really pay him too much attention, but I liked the other dude. Mm-hmm. And so long and short, my best friend and I went down to Baltimore for Pride one year. Mm-hmm. And we're in a club and my best friend and I are getting in and everybody's around and we look around and he and the manager on the dance floor are like wearing it out. And I was like, oh, so this is why. Years later, me and this said manager, who now lives in Atlanta, did actually have an incredible
time.
In fact, that was one of the flip-flop moments that we were talking about. But quickly knew that all he wanted was sex. Like, he didn't want to advance to anything else other than. So it was kind of like, that completely turned me off. So, yeah. So I guess that counts as a superior.
I think it's really, now we're talking about this, I'm thinking about something now. So from my last job, there's a guy. We have a lot of sexual tension.
Okay. But never did anything?
We've never done anything. And I just saw him this weekend.
Still same tension?
Yes. And my friend was like, when you walked away, I thought he's gonna fuck you up the sidewalk. Like, and I'm like, well, I think he's a bottom. So, I mean, I probably fucked him up the sidewalk. But, you know, whatever.
Would you explore?
I think we keep giving each other, like, in the windows, but it's never really happened. So, you know, I think that I love the build of the anticipation.
Okay.
So once it happens, it will be really hot for me.
But do y'all communicate? Like,
we every once in a while, like, we'll just say, "Oh, that picture was cute," or like, we'll throw it in, like, "Damn, you know, something sexual," but like, not bring it to the point where we like actually do the do.
Yeah. Okay. So let me know when it happens. You probably should initiate.
I'm like,
it.
Next week. So
right. So it happened. Right.
I'm thinking about it now. Like,
Tune in.
Because my homegirl from, matter of fact, you can call, so this is funny though. My friend that was on live, her name is Seeker. You call her Scarlet.
No, was I calling her by her name?
You call her Scarlet. Her name is Secret.
Oh. I'm sorry. Secret, I'm sorry.
But I called, I was like, you know, the supervisor was at, I saw the supervisor out. She was like, did he say anything? Because she
knows the tension.
She already knows, yeah. And so she was like, so what's going to happen next? I said, I left. And she was like, please let me know when this happened. It's been a long time, friend. Like,
all right, what's the next topic?
All right, so our last one is, at what point do you know it's time to move on from your friends with benefits?
I guess when the thrill is not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And then when, if they get a little too attached and you're not interested, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like when I know the emotions are getting attached. There was a guy that we had amazing sex. And actually, he was one of the people that I flip-flopped with. When I lived on the South Side. And he started wanting to go on dates and stuff. And I was like, this is not what I signed up for at all. Like, I was very clear up front that this was a sexual thing and that was what it was. And he wanted to invite me around with his friends and stuff. And I'm like, how you know I'm going to come to the friends and see a friend that I want to fuck? Like,
true.
That's going to become an issue. So I just really kept trying to avoid it. And I remember one time he invited me to something. I came like after it was over with on purpose. Because I didn't want to be around his friends. Because I think I went with his friends one time. And there were a few of his friends that were, like, trying to talk to me. I think I got, like, two of their numbers, matter of fact. And I was like, man, should I really do this? Because will it mess up this situation? And so he found out about it. And he was mad. I'm like, we're not together. So I had every right to do what I did. And I said, because it's always been. So he really started going harder about us dating. And I was like, I don't want to date. It wasn't that he was like unattractive, but I wasn't in the space to date. And I was very honest about that up in front in the beginning. Like, I don't want to date.
Yeah. I just think when the thrill is gone, it's kind of like, okay, this was fun, but I think we're good.
How would you tell them that?
This was fun, but I think we're good.
I would not do that. That is so rude.
How is it? It's honest. Like,
it's honest, but still, I don't want to hurt your feelings because...
Like, I would like to move on.
I think I tried to talk to him, like, it's getting too serious. And...
I just said it.
No, you said the thrill is gone. The thrill wasn't gone. You're just getting too serious, and it's not what we signed up for.
Okay.
And I'm like... You know, I don't mind if whoever you dealing with outside of me. And even if you had a camera on my friends and you wanted to fuck one of them, it would have been okay with me because I did not care.
Right.
I just need you to understand that this is a friends with benefits situation. And that's that. I hope that people don't start doing that to find a date.
I think regardless of how tough you think the conversation is, at the end of the day, you still need to have the conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right? You know what I mean? Like, so some kind of conversation is necessary as opposed to just ghosting a person.
I think that people think that it's impossible to have those situations, but it's really not hard if you are both on the same page.
Yeah.
And
mature about it.
Because for me, like, I really don't mind having a friend with benefits where I can see you out. And, like, the fact that we did it, nobody knows, it turned me the fuck on. Like, I want to call. I'm going to hit you up afterwards. Like,
hey. You get that little special hug. Like, hey, okay, I'll see you later.
Matter of fact, I just did this. And it was so funny because the dude was, like, touching my ass when we was out the other day. And I'm like, no, our friends are around. Nobody knows that me and you have been having sex. Like, I need you to cut this shit out. Like, right now.
But you was turned on by it.
Oh, it was definitely turning me on.
You like it.
It was, but I'm like, this, you about to spoil the whole thing for me. Because if they find out, I don't know if I'm going to still be wanting to do it anymore.
The thrill is gone.
Yes. He was like, are you serious? I said, yes. I'm like, you was on me. Like, my friend that was with me saw you doing it. So I'm like, I know that if he's seen it, I don't know if they seen it. And they just was drunk and they let it bypass or whatever, but it was intense. Like, you were really like on me. And I was like, you know, come over, let's do it so we can get it over with, so maybe the next time I see you.
You can leave me alone.
And he was like, I did do that. I remember it now. I was like, yeah, let's not do this again. Let's keep what we had. I like this. Alright, so is that that on that?
That's that on that. Make sure you tune in Thursday night, 8 o'clock on Facebook and YouTube for the Affairs of the Heart podcast live.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And make sure you like, subscribe, and share, and hit the reminder button when you see the post go live.
Yes. And then also, you know, we'll have our co-host Easy.
Yes, Easy said he's done.
For the live. We also have another guest coming on.
I'm so excited.
Which will be very interesting.
Because I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say.
Especially on these last few topics. Yes. So I'm excited about that. We probably will have a few other conversations while we're on that live as well. So I'll make sure you guys tune into that on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure you guys are subscribing to our YouTube channel, Affairs of the Heart Podcast. Go on to Facebook, Affairs of the Heart, Twitter, AOTH Podcast, and Instagram, The Affairs of the Heart. Are that all the handles we have?
Yes.
All of them, okay. And I guess we have them.
That's it. All later.
Right. Bye.